The American Standards Body is sending an expert to brief Australian authorities on its progress to improve smoke alarm requirements. This comes as campaigners warn that Australia's stance on smoke alarms is costing lives. The new US standard requires all alarms to pass strict tests by 2020, and it's expected that an alarm commonly used here in Australia will be removed from the US market. The change took decades to develop, and critics blame manufacturers and regulators for delays both in America and here. In her latest investigation into safety standards of Australia's smoke alarms, Annie Guest reports.
Former firefighter Sean Ducrane now works for the US's product testing body, Underwriters Laboratories, as an industry relations manager.
One of the reasons that we like going into other countries and partnering with other countries is that if we have the research and we've done the work, we'd love to share it with you. And that's one of the reasons I'll be down there in September, is to share the changes.
In recent news stories, Underwriters Laboratories has indicated that the new test will save lives. Is that accurate?
I believe it will be, yes.
In Australia, Mr. Ducrane will attend conferences, and he says his visit is routine. But it comes as Australian authorities defend a different standard, disputed research, and a smoke alarm that critics blame for the deaths of tens of thousands of people worldwide. He is the chief executive of the Australian Building Codes Board, Neil Savory, on RN Breakfast last month.
There is no statistically significant difference between the two types of smoke detector technologies, being able to predict and detect what might be the likely next fire.
Senior firefighter Joseph Fleming was on the Underwriters Laboratories Committee that approved the new US standard in 2015. It comes into force in 2020. He says the US also took too long to change the standard, despite research in 1980, the 1990s and early 2000s showing ionisation alarms were inferior. A 2004 US government report found they took on average 30 to 33 minutes longer than photoelectric alarms to respond to smouldering fires. But this finding wasn't initially explicitly stated. Smouldering fires are responsible for half of all house fire deaths, and they're commonly started by an electrical fault or candle and can create smoke that overwhelms people while they're sleeping. Mr. Fleming, who is also Boston's deputy fire chief, told RN Breakfast recently that Australia's stance means more lives will be unnecessarily lost.
It just seems a shame that Australia is going to lose 10 years of research that we argued out a long time ago. Every one of these issues was argued in the United States 10 or 15 years ago. Less effective smoke detectors will mean more lives will be lost until they get the more effective smoke detectors.
The new US standard, called UL217, addresses nuisance alarms and requires all alarms to reach the same standard in a smouldering synthetic test, representative of modern foam furniture. Mr. Fleming says standalone ionisation alarms can't pass and will be forced off the US market. But these cheaper devices are common in Australia, where they're blamed for deaths, including that of celebrity chef Matt Galinsky's wife and three children. Standards Australia's Smoke Alarm Committee proposed a similar change here a decade ago. And committee member David Isaac told RN Breakfast earlier this year he blames industry influence for the proposal's failure.
It doesn't need to have a particularly intelligent legal person to connect the dots, and they can prove that the failure of an ionisation smoke alarm to warn caused injury or death.
Smoke alarm manufacturers have repeatedly declined interviews or not responded to requests. The Australian Building Codes Board denies the industry was influential in its opposition to changing the standard. Here's Neil Savory again.
It wasn't blocked by the board. The ABCB didn't support it on the basis of the evidence that was provided, and there has to be a robust, rigorous analysis of the issues.
The board insists its position is backed by international peer-reviewed research. In the US, Joseph Fleming proposed a ban on ionisation alarms in households in 1999 to the US's National Fire Protection Association, but says he was told the data was, quote, not compelling enough to put companies out of business. The allegation by Mr. Fleming, who's sometimes referred to as Jay, that these alarms are responsible for tens of thousands of deaths, drew the following response from Sean DeCrane from the US's testing body, Underwriters Laboratories.
I don't know if I can agree with that statement, because there are a lot of factors that go into a fire fatality when an occupant is not able to get out. Unfortunately, we have limitations in the data that we're collecting here in the US.
He recommended back in 1997 that Underwriters Laboratories add a smouldering synthetic test and a cooking nuisance test, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
UL did eventually add a smouldering synthetic test, a flaming synthetic test, and a cooking nuisance test.
Yes, and I will say he was a driver for this.
So don't the recent changes to UL 217 validate his concern?
Well, I think Jay was right to bring up those concerns, and I'm not going to say it validates his statistical claim, but it certainly, he demonstrated that the smoke alarm technology could be enhanced and should be enhanced.
The Building Codes Board declined another interview.
And a guest with that report, and Annie referred there to Chef Matt Galinsky, his journey to recovery following the house fire that killed his wife and children back in 2011, will be featured tonight on Australian Story at 8 o'clock, of course, on the ABC.